Already been read this morning, but this is the text that we're using this morning from our message, Romans 14:19. Let's read it together in unison. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. You may be seated. Amen. Well, we are continuing our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Notice I did not say fruits, I said fruit of the Spirit. I hope you've been thinking a little bit about spiritual fruit in your life, as I have been thinking about it in my own life. God is interested in each and every believer bearing fruit, being productive, not just loafing around, not just filling up space, but being fruitful in every good thing. You see, the tree that we have behind us here, the fruit of the Spirit, taken from Galatians 5:22-23. Last week we talked about joy, and this the week before that, love. Of course, love is the first one, so we got love, joy, peace, and next week we're going to talk about patience. We're going to talk about goodness, forbearance, self-control, gentleness, faithfulness, and kindness. Kindness. Doesn't this world need a good dose of kindness now and then? But these are the fruit of the Spirit that ought to be the result of someone having a regenerate heart. Someone who has been transformed by the power of the gospel, by the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been born again into the family of God and have been given a new nature, a new life, and new hope only founded on Him. At camp this past week, I was able to sit in on a couple of sessions, and the theme is rooted in Christ. God wants us to be rooted. He wants us to have roots that go deep, roots that are not blown away are washed away by the things of this world, but roots that are deep enough to make changes, to bring about changes in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. I know many of you could probably get up here and preach about this yourself, but we need to be reminded from time to time how important these things are. If we're not bearing forth fruit, guess what? We become barren. We become incomplete. We feel like we are missing out and our joy is not full. Because you know what Jesus said? He says, I have come that you might have joy and that your joy might be full. So He wants us to have full joy. Cups that are running over. And cups that are fruitful, making a difference. And guess what? If we have believers that are not being fruitful, who are not living out the fruit of the Spirit, guess what? I've said that several times already, right? Guess what? Guess what? It means that the church cannot be fruitful. All right? So if you think somehow we can mix up some magic potion that will bring everybody to their senses and bring about a growing, thriving church, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen unless we as members of the body of Christ are growing and becoming fruitful. That's when God does His thing. That's when God works in ways that are unbelievable. So, today's fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about peace. And I'm not talking about the peace movement that came back from the hippie days out of the 1960s and 70s that many of us may remember that came as a result of Woodstock and, you know, all that. That's not the peace we're talking about, because that's the peace of this world. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have peace. Not the peace that the world gives, but My peace. And God's peace is much different than the peace that this world offers today. You can talk about it, you can form consortiums on it, but it's not real until you have experienced it yourself in the person of Jesus Christ. So there's two quick things I want you to know about peace. First, it is God's promise. It's God's promise that we have peace. All right? It's His promise. It's His promise to you and it's His promise to me. He wants to fill us with peace. And time does not permit me to mention every place in the Bible where we're promised God's peace. But we can sum it up with Jesus' statement in the Gospel of John. I hope you'll read this passage especially. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. That you might have peace. There's nothing worse in this world than for people not to have God's peace. It's a promise we can claim. And the second thing I want you to see about peace is that it is God's command. It's not something that's multiple choice. It's not something that's optional. It's God's command that you and I experience peace. It is. I'm serious. For real. It's true that God wants us to have His peace. As far as it depends on you, Romans 12, 18 says, as far as it depends on you, and that means if it's in your control, or if you have anything to do with it, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Everyone. I speak from experience because those who take this verse of Scripture seriously tend to experience a more peaceful existence. If you'll take your own contentiousness off the menu, you know, the point is you will be amazed at how much easier it is to get along with other people. There are some people in this world who feel that the world owes them something. And so they're walking around with a chip on their shoulders. And you can see that they're not at peace with themselves. They're not at peace with other people. And definitely, they're not at peace with God. So, I realize there are a few cantankerous people. Anybody cantankerous here this morning? Oh, wow, we got some cantankerous people. We're going to have to deal with you guys. God's going to have to. But if you know of any cantankerous souls out there who can't get along with anyone, can't get along with themselves, can't get along at home, can't get along at work, you know, and there's not much you can do about them. And we know that Frank is not cantankerous, right? He's a pretty good, easygoing guy. And David is not. David's a pretty good, easygoing guy. Uh-oh. Well, there's a song that says, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." So, you know, He's working on me too. So, there are cantankerous people out there. The Bible tells us very clearly that it is God's command that we seek His peace. It's worth a try, don't you think? It's worth a try. You know, what else? How can you lose? Why would you want to lose? So I want us to talk about cultivating this specific aspect of the fruit of the Spirit this morning, very quickly. 3 points. 3 things to share with you. Number one, that peace is something you need to put on for yourself. It's something you need to take care of yourself. No one else can do it for you. You have to take the initiative to know peace in your heart, to know God's peace, especially in your heart. You have to know that. And there are some scripture verses to go along with this morning that are important to us. And, one before the Colossians passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, seek peace and pursue it, Peter says. Seek peace and pursue it. And you know what that means in the Greek? That we are to seek it with all our hearts, but we're to chase after it. Chase after that peace. That's what Peter's saying. We're to seek it. We're to chase after it. And in Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Now that word clothe has an interesting connotation because, you know, we all put clothes on before we come here in the morning, and it's a good thing. But clothe yourselves. He's talking about clothing ourselves spiritually. Clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and patience. So that's an act of the will. It doesn't use the word peace here in this verse, but it could be included. And I'm sure Paul had it in mind to clothe yourself with peace. It's something you put on. You see, we have peace with God not because of anything we have ever done in our own strength, but because of what His Son has done for us. Because of what Jesus has done for us. There's nothing in ourselves that's really that attractive when it comes down to it. There's nothing. The Bible says we are as filthy rags. We are undone. The Bible says that we're all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We deserve nothing but the punishment of God. But thanks be to God who gave us His Son, who took away our sin, who took away our pain, who took away our guilt, and nailed it to that cross. He replaced it with His peace. Apart from that, apart from the substitutionary death of Jesus, you and I would never, ever be able to lay hold of God's peace in this world in which we live. Never be able to do it. So we need to begin there. That we're undone apart from Jesus Christ. We've all found ourselves in some kind of predicament, I'm sure. We feel separated from God and at war with ourselves because of our sinful behavior, because of our sinful actions. And to resolve this dilemma, the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 8, that for as while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that's a word that's almost, it's not a politically correct word in this world, the word sin. Because no one likes to hear that word sin. But the Bible says that we're sinners. The Bible says we have fallen short. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And that we all need Christ. We all need His Spirit living in our lives. He bridged the gap that exists between you and God. And He brought peace into the relationship. We're no longer at odds with God if we receive Christ, if we have invited Him into our lives. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. He has done all that He can do. And it's up to you and I to receive His peace. Because His peace is His gift. And if we don't receive the gift, we're not going to have it. Right? Just the same and just as simple as that. You got to receive it. You got to receive it. So He has done all He can do. It is up to you and I to receive that gift, to live in it, and to clothe ourselves with the gift of His peace. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said this, Therefore, and when that word therefore is there, it's there for a reason. Therefore, he says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the phrase we have peace with God can be translated, let us have peace with God. In other words, in the original Greek, it means that we need to accept it. It means that we need to receive it. It means that we must not resist it. that we need to put it on, that we need to clothe ourselves in it, and in the peace that God is offering us. That's what we're called to do. So how do you clothe yourself? There is a verse in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, that you might want to circle and look up and underline. It says this, in Isaiah 26, verse 3, in the King James, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." If your mind is stayed on him, if you're trusting him, then you can experience God's perfect peace. Not the peace of this world, because this world offers no peace. Paul said basically the same thing in Romans 8. He says in Romans 8, verse 6, "The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." I'll read it again. The mind that's controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. If your mind is not controlled by the Spirit, guess what? You will not experience life. You will not experience peace. You will not experience the best that God has for you. And guess what? God says He's got a lot for you. And He wants you to have it. He really does. So, all of this is important. When I say that the first step is to put it on, I'm saying that if you want to experience the peace of the Holy Spirit in your heart, put your mind on God. Think about Him with intention. With intention. I'm sure that in many of our churches across America today, people will come to worship and they'll think about God maybe for a little while, for the holy hour, as we call it, and go home and go out in the world and the rest of the week not even think of God. Not even think of His presence. Not even think of His blessings. You see, it is a discipline, a spiritual discipline, that we think about the things of the Spirit, that we think about the things of God, that we think about His Word, that we allow His Word to saturate our minds, that it will bring about positive results and fruit that will last for eternity. So that's the first thing that we need to be reminded of this morning. The second thing is this, that peace is something you share with others. It's something you share with others. And it is so important for us to remember that, that we share God's peace. You know, you may be the only walking Bible in your neighborhood. You may be the only person where people will be able to see Jesus Christ. And it's only, maybe only through you. People don't read their Bibles today. People's minds are set against God. People are at enmity with God. They're cursing God. They're swearing at God. They're blaming God. And if you are living the life of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is working and flowing through you, these people, without God and without hope, have wonderful opportunity to see God in you, working through you. That's where we can become fruitful, because peace is something we share with others. It's impossible to share with others what you've not experienced yourself. It really is. You can't share peace when you yourself are in turmoil all the time. You can't share peace if you are messed up spiritually and you don't have your spiritual priorities in order. You can't be a peacemaker. You can't be one who shares the peace of Jesus Christ. But God says, here's a way. In the first verse in Romans 12, 18, I've already shared the verse. As far as it depends on you, okay? And it really depends on you. And it depends on me. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. With everyone. None of us like contention. None of us like tension. And you can almost feel when there's tension in the room. You can almost feel when people are at odds with one another. You can sense it. You know it when there is this spirit of instability going around. So we have opportunity as far as it depends on you. So what Paul is saying here is this. When he says, as far as it depends on you, he's saying, you need to fill in the blank as to what that is, as to how to make the difference, as to how to share God's peace and how to be fruitful in it. Peace is not merely a promise. It's an order. It's a directive. It's a requirement. Every family, every workplace, every church has one or two who live and keep things stirred up. I know people in my own family. I know people in where I worked before who are agitators. Agitators. And you know, someone told me once they have a phone number that says this, 1-800-AGITATE. 1-800-AGITATE. And you look at that person and you say, yeah, I think that fits them. That's a good number for them because they are agitators. And they are aggravators. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us, as far as it depends on you, he says, to live at peace. Peace is not merely a promise, it's an order, it's a directive. You know, people will say things that we disagree with just to get your goat. People will bring up politics and they'll do it to get your goat. They'll remind you of mistakes you've made in the past. Anything to keep conflict alive. There are some people who will desire to do that. And the temptation, of course, is to respond in the same way. But this is what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 3:9. He says this. It's a very important verse of Scripture. Peter says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Repay it with blessing. Because of this, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Now that's powerful. That's powerful. It doesn't take an advanced degree in sociology to recognize that the ideological climate of this country is really gone down the toilet. That we are becoming increasingly intolerant of anyone whose opinions are different than our own. And that, I believe, both sides of the spectrum are just as guilty. You get the right and the left squabbling and fighting over things. You know, what an interesting time we're living in right now with the way things are in Washington. You know, we don't know what's going to take place. It is a cesspool of corruption. It really is. It really is an amazing thing. There's a cultural war going on right now. It's a cultural war. It's a war between good and evil, between right and wrong. There's a cultural war between right and left. Between the political correctness of this world and the non-political correctness of this world. But we are at war right now. And we can feel it every time. I went 1 week and did not watch the news while I was over in Scotland. And what an amazing experience that was. And I got back here and got bombarded with it. You know, you can't help it, but be bombarded with it. The battle lines have been drawn in this culture, in this country. There doesn't seem to be any middle ground. With very little effort at all, You know, it's possible to spend your entire day in conflict with other people. Or we can choose to take the path of peace. That's a choice. One of my friends on Facebook posted a while back, said this. This is Bob. He voted for Trump. This is Bob's friend Sally. Sally voted for Clinton. Bob and Sally are still friends because Bob and Sally are both adults. Something to think about. This attitude of sharing peace with others is about more than political discussions. It is about everything. It's about choosing the path of peace at every turn, every way. Paul says in Romans 14:19, again, the text for the message this morning, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do what we can to bring about peace and to build one another up. Not tear one another down, but to build one another up. And sometimes that means holding our tongues, and sometimes it means changing the subject. Sometimes it means speaking a blessing, even when we've got maybe some kind of a snappy comeback already prepared. That's what we got to do. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's something we put on for ourselves. It's something that we share with others. And finally, thirdly and finally, peace is something we create whenever possible. It's something we create whenever possible. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 19, he said what? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Right? Blessed are the peacemakers. More than merely doing our best to get along with others, there will be times when you have the opportunity to bring two sides together. I've done that over the years as a pastor. People have been squabbling over stupid things. And I've had to sit them in a room and say, look, let's be adults here. Let's smarten up. And let's be adults. Let's think about things a little differently. I've tried to be, as a pastor, to be a reconciler over the years, to bring people together. I mean, I could do something real quick to cause a division in this church if I wanted to. Right? Don't want me to do that, right? I could do it. It's within my grasp. I have the potential to do that. But I don't want to. I'd rather bring us together. I'd rather us foster reconciliation, harmony, blessing. God's not going to work if there's tension. God's not going to bless if there's bickering. God's not going to bless if there's division and strife and envy and pride and jealousy. Oh boy, does the devil ever want to get involved in a situation like that? Does he ever want to get involved? So, peace is something we create whenever possible. In Isaiah 58, verse 12, it says, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. That verse kind of hit me right over the head. You know, I want to be a repairer of the breach. There are too many breaches out there, right? There are too many divisions right now. The restorer of paths to dwell in. You know, Rodney King, remember what he said? Can't we all get along? But it's much better, more than that. There's a spiritual dynamic to it. We want to be a repairer of the breach rather than being the instigator of conflict, rather than being the destroyer of those whom we disagree. We're called to repair that which is broken. There's a lot broken right now. Wouldn't you agree? A lot of things broken. God wants us to repair that. God wants us to be involved in bringing peace to this tattered old world. Solomon says in Proverbs 12:20, there is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil. Okay? If you're plotting evil, there's deceit in your heart. So he says, there is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. If you promote peace, you can be the most joyful person on the face of the earth. So Paul said, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. But it has to begin in our relationship with God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's His doing. It's His working. And it's a characteristic that God has called us to clothe ourselves with so that this world of ours can be a better place and that the light of Jesus Christ can shine brightly. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your peace that passes all understanding. Oh God, we don't understand it, but we do know that there's a settledness in our hearts that only comes from you. And I pray that we might be pursuers of peace, that we might chase after it in a powerful way. This world needs your peace, oh God. And you've called us to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit so that peace might abound wherever we are. And I pray for anyone here this morning that may not have peace in their hearts right now. It could be a troubled relationship. It could be a troubled situation that they're in. Lord, we all experience those things, those times in our lives, when there's upheaval, when there's chaos, and when it seems as though things are just not right. I pray, O God, that your peace would abound and pass all understanding. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.